Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
This tax exemption eludes me like a gazelle eludes an arthritic cat.
Why can't Canby people keep track of their dogs? Like, what is...
To do that, you can't be stupid with guns.
Yeah. Set the board is saying they want to make Canby schools great again.
It feels like we've been doing this interview for years.
Inside of me was screaming.
You run for school board, you win or you die.
There's no second place.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Franke.
I'm James Walton.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
A new winery is coming to the area after Clackamas County's approval last week of an application to turn a former farm store on Butteville Road into a large winemaking facility and tasting room. The site is the former location of the Farm Store Outlet, a farmer's market, bakery, and farm store that closed years ago just west of the Canby-Charbonneau exits on Interstate 5. The 18-acre property is now owned by Bob Lanfear Jr. of Lanfear Construction and Development, who also owns a number of new and used car and motorcycle dealerships in Beaverton and Newburgh. Lanfear said that at the hearing, he planned to take a, quote, little bit of a step back from the car business if his vision for the Butteville Road Winery was approved. As he jokingly explained to the county's hearing officer, he was coerced into trying his hand at wine growing and wine making by his friend and Hillsborough neighbor, Steve Hendricks of Ruby Vineyard and Winery.
It's turned into be quite a hobby, and I think that with the Pinot that's doing really well in Oregon, the 667 strain and the Pinard strain of grapes are going to do really well on this piece of property, and my will do currently well at my house. I've currently also planted more acres at my new house that I'm purchasing, and between the properties that we have, we'll be able to supply the grapes that we need for the winery. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to being in the wine business and stepping back on the car business a little bit.
The property has several existing structures that the winery plans to use, including a 10,000 square foot facility that will be used for wine production and processing, a 4,250 square foot building that would be converted into a tasting room, and a barn that would be primarily used to store vineyard equipment. Lanfear said he plans to source grapes from his own land, at least to start with. As you heard, he has several acres of grapes planted at his property in Hillsborough. There are also 5 acres of grapes that have already been planted at Butteville Road, with 2 more acres planned. If operation grows, Lanfear said he would also source grapes from Ruby Vineyard, as well as several other wine-growing operations in the Laurel View area. They anticipate approximately 6 employees to be on site at any given time to manage the vineyard, make wine, and staff the tasting room, which would be open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. They expect the traffic impact to be roughly half of what had been previously approved for the farm store. Wayne Richards, a Charbonneau resident, had a couple of questions about the development, but overall he said he and his neighbors are impressed with the plans for the long-defunct property.
I'm the civic affairs chair for Charbonneau, and overall, everyone thinks it's a wonderful idea, and incidentally, so do I. So I think it's cool. I read everything here. It's not going to win any Pulitzers, but it's beautiful. It's very thorough and very well thought out.
The timeline for the project has not yet been made known, but one member of the team who also spoke at the meeting, Doug Lanfear, said they look forward to being a positive and supportive member of the rural but tight-knit community that is Charbonneau and the French Prairie area.
I've been the manager of the farm facility for about 6 months. I've brought it from the point of planting, and I want to make it clear to any community members that are here now that we want to support the community, be an adjunct member of the community, and contribute to the local farm community that's around us. That we're there to be supportive and contributory to the local farm community.
Julie Whaling, the director of the Canby Area Transit, more commonly known as CAT, has been named Outstanding Public Transportation Manager of the Year by the Oregon Transit Association. I guess you could say she's the CAT's pajamas. Whaling received the award at the recent Transit Association's annual conference, which was held in Seaside this year. Elizabeth Burroughs Chapin, a member of CAT's Transit Advisory Committee, was in attendance. She says the Oregon Transit Association picked the right person. "I was so proud of her. She totally deserved it," Chapin said. "She has served the city of Canby for at least the last 10 years, and she just goes about her business quietly doing whatever she can to make Canby Area Transit be the best it can possibly be. She cares so much about those passengers and her drivers and everyone." Whaling has successfully secured over $10 million in grant funds over the years to help support the local transit program, which is a vital lifeline for many Canbyites, especially seniors and lower-income residents. She has often done this in creative ways, like the time a few years ago that she combined various combinations of federal grant dollars with state matching funds in such a way that CAT was able to purchase 3 brand new buses at no cost to the city. "This is Julie's typical method of operation," then City Administrator Rick Robinson said in a 2016 article in the Canby Herald. "Julie is just extraordinary, not just in how she manages her budget, but in how she manages CAT. She does a great job. We are very fortunate." So congrats, Julie, and thank you for your service to our town. I think I can safely speak for everyone here at the Canby Now podcast when I say you are one cool cat. Canby Fire District Division Chief Matt English, along with firefighter Brad Frank, Austin Holmes, and Bo Ramos, continue to assist in the wildfires devastating much of Northern California. They are assigned to one of several Oregon strike teams assisting Cal Fire in battling the Ranch Fire in Tehama County, which has now consumed over 2,000 acres and is only 15% contained. Originally assigned to the Kincaid Fire in Sonoma County, the Canby firefighters had actually been demobilized and were packing up to go home as of Sunday morning. But by Monday morning, they had been reassigned and were back at it, actively fighting the Ranch Fire, which at the time only covered about 300 acres. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers if you're the praying type. Aurora-based Columbia Helicopters is also doing their part, with helicopter crews already assigned to the U.S. Forest Service and Cal Fire and ready to fly on a moment's notice. "Right now, 3 of our helicopters are pre-positioned and ready to go," said Keith Saylor, Director of Commercial Operations for Columbia. "We are continuing to be available for the various fire protection agencies, ready to assist with any further needs on any existing fires or in an initial attack role for any new fire starts." Before this month, the company's flying had actually been down by about a third compared to the 2018 fire season. However, given the current activity, he said that gap is likely to close. Clackamas County College's theater department is about to take a wild ride as they open their fall main stage with the charming contemporary comedy Becky's New Car by Stephen Dietz. Becky Foster is caught in a middle-aged, middle management, and middling marriage with no prospects for change on the horizon. Then, one night, a socially inept and grief-stricken millionaire stumbles into the car dealership where Becky works. Becky is offered nothing short of a new life, and the audience is offered a chance to ride shotgun in a way that most plays wouldn't dare. Becky's New Car is a thoroughly original comedy with serious overtones, a devious, delightful romp down the road not taken. Directed by artistic director James Ikrim, the production features a dynamic ensemble of CCC students with scenic and lighting design by Chris Witten and costumes by Gina Piva. Becky's New Car runs November 14th through the 24th, Thursdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., with Sunday matinees at 2:30 p.m. at the Oregon City campus. There will also be a 10 a.m. matinee on Friday, November 22nd. Visit www.clackamas.edu/theater or call 503-594-3153 for reservations. Wow, that is a lot of drugs. Over 11,600 pounds, almost 6 tons of expired, unused, and unwanted prescription medications were collected in the state of Oregon on October 26th. Part of the Drug Enforcement Agency's annual National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, the Canby Police Department was one of the 54 collection sites participating in Oregon. A total of nearly 883,000 pounds of medications were collected nationwide during the October 2019 Take Back event. Residents of Washington, Idaho, and Oregon and Alaska turned in 36,981 pounds, or 18.5 tons, which is the third highest collection to date for the Pacific Northwest. This is also the first time the DEA accepted vaping devices and cartridges in addition to medications at all of its drop-off locations. With hundreds of confirmed lung injuries and dozens of deaths contributed to vaping use, the DEA says it is working diligently in our communities and through our outreach efforts to spread the word about the dangers of vaping. The DEA's next National Prescription Drug Take Back Day is April 25th, 2020.
All right, police beat for the week of October 1st through the 7th. On October 4th, there was a report of theft by deception after an unknown person contacted a victim and was able to gain financial information posing as a fraud investigator. 3:15 p.m. report of a hit and run, damage to a vehicle parked on a neighborhood street. An apology note with the driver's information was later located and the police coordinated a driver information exchange. On October 2nd at 8:52 p.m., an officer was dispatched to a two-vehicle non-injury traffic crash and report of identity theft after an unknown person attempted to open multiple bank accounts using a victim's identity. On October 3rd at 1:20 a.m., following a traffic stop, a driver was arrested for DUI, controlled substance. 7:32 a.m., report of a counterfeit bill being passed at a fuel station. Report of an unknown person attempting to pass a check using a victim's identity. And officers arrested a man on an outstanding Clackamas County controlled substance possession warrant. On October 4th, at 3:08 p.m., officers arrested a man on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. Canby officers were called to assist a neighboring city with a person in crisis. At 5:53 p.m., an officer stopped a vehicle that was following dangerously close to the vehicle ahead. The driver was cited for driving uninsured and driving with a suspended license, and warned about following too closely and for possession of drug paraphernalia. The vehicle was towed. I mean, if you're going to be breaking the law, don't be a... Sorry. Officers arrested a man on an outstanding warrant and for failing to register as a sex offender. So, you gotta register. A vehicle being driven, on October 5th at 10:21 p.m., a vehicle being driven by a suspended intoxicated driver was stopped. The driver was arrested for DUI, alcohol, and reckless driving. On October 6th at 12:30 a.m., officers responded to a report of a belligerent person outside of a restaurant who threw a steak knife towards other customers. The man was subsequently arrested for unlawful use of a weapon and disorderly conduct. More like unlawful use of a steak knife. I mean, why would you? It's for steak, not human steak. At 12:57 a.m., and as officers were finishing with an unrelated call, they recognized a suspect with outstanding Clackamas County and Cambie Municipal Court warrants, and they took him into custody. Because when the cops know you in Cambie, man, it is, it's not going to be good. A pedestrian was stopped and arrested on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. That was at 9:21 p.m. Jeez, seriously, if the Cambie cops know you... Oh, goodness. And 9:24 p.m., report of an unknown person attempting to extort money from a potential victim by the way of communicating threats via text messages. That is no bueno, my friend. On October 7th at 6:34 a.m., report of theft after an unknown person entered a residential garage through an open door and rummaged through the garage and vehicle parked inside. And finally... at 6:35 p.m., report of an unknown person entering and stealing items from an unlocked vehicle overnight.
Located just off the corner of 13th and South Ivy is one of the most magical places on Earth, Puddin' River Chocolates. That's where Chief Chocolatier Teresa Sassy and her team of Oompa Loompa, employees, hand make some of the richest, most delicious gourmet chocolates you can find anywhere. Yeah, That's right. Willy Wonka wishes he was this good. Teresa uses the highest quality free trade cocoa from around the globe and locally sourced hazelnuts, berries, and other ingredients to create world-class confections that are a treat to the eyes and the taste buds. And they do more than chocolate. The classic fondue is an ideal blend of Swiss cheese, wine, and spices that you have got to try. Puddin' River's creations make a great gift for a loved one, or hey, for yourself, because you know what? You deserve it. I deserve it, Frankie! Find them at PuddinRiverChocolates.com. Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Okay, well, one of the brand new and newest stores in downtown Canby is Canby Gifts and Toys. It's something that if you listen to a lot of the folks around here in Canby has been needed in Canby or back in town for at least a couple years since Parsons closed, and I know people are really excited about it. Joining us on the line now is Maya Kinley-Hanlon. She does social media for the new store and also is in charge of a lot of the purchasing and the product mix for the things that you'll see here. Hi, Maya.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. You must be excited. I know it's been a lot of work over the past few months getting this thing from an empty space into this beautiful thing I'm sitting in now.
Yeah, it's been honestly incredibly interesting to kind of go through this process and see how things develop and see what's needed to get a store up and running has been really a very fascinating, very fun thing to be able to be a part of.
I bet. Is this sort of a first time thing for you, or do you have some experience doing that type of thing?
No, I don't have experience necessarily in this specifically.
Yeah.
I've always thought about in the future the potential of kind of opening a business as something that I might do.
I think everyone has that dream, right? Like, oh, I'd love to run like a bar or a, you know, boutique wine shop or, you know, everyone has their thing, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's honestly been so interesting to kind of see what you need to do and what you need to think about and what leads up to the opening, because I think a lot of times you don't necessarily think through all of that.
Sure.
And then you have to do it. And then obviously you have to think through it in a lot more detail. So,
well, you get to do the fun stuff, Maya. You get to do the social media and you get to pick out toys. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It has been really fun. I've enjoyed so much of it. I really do kind of feel lucky. It doesn't really feel like a job. It is really fun to kind of see what people want, what people need, what's out there. I think I didn't realize how much is available in the world
and
how to kind of target that and how to talk to people about things. And what's been really fun has been being able to kind of talk to local vendors and smaller businesses and reach out to them, because I spent a lot of time the first few months kind of reaching out to people that seemed local just through social media.
Yeah.
And so that process has been really interesting too, because a lot of times you'll kind of run into people that don't necessarily advertise their wholesale and the fact that they will sell to a store, but they are really interested in it as well.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, finding stuff is not the challenge, right? It's finding the right stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's been a big part of it, is kind of a constant conversation between me and my mom and me basically going out and saying, here's all of these things, like, what are your thoughts? And narrowing it down to what's really going to be good quality that people are really going to value and want to have, not just kind of random stuff that people don't actually want or need.
Sure. Yeah. So how do you approach that as far as the types of things? It looks to me like, at least for in a few areas, you sort of came up with some categories and then kind of filled those categories. Like you obviously, like, we want to have some toys, we want to have some houseware, home decor, some furnishings. But how did you come up with kind of the categories, and then what sort of philosophy did you use in filling out those categories?
Yeah, well, my mom and I have always really liked kind of going shopping around gift stores and antique stores. That's a very fond memory of mine from growing up with her, was when we were traveling, or if we were ever in a city we'd not been in before, we'd always stop in the local antique store and the local gift shop in town. And
That's so funny. So, I have those memories too, but they're my least favorite childhood memories.
Well,
not with your mom, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was always a really fun thing for us to be able to do together. So when we were thinking about this, we kind of just were thinking about what are common kind of things that people want in a gift store that's local. So especially for Cambie, where there's a lot of families, we knew we wanted to have things that would be good for kids and families, and kind of hit that market. That was a priority. And then in addition to that, kind of, we know pets are, to a lot of people, you know, pets are family as well. So you want to have things that people want for their pets. So we knew pets would be another kind of market we wanted to look into. And then aside from that, you know, you're just kind of like, well, kitchens, things, you know, this is a place where hopefully people will come to buy gifts for others, and housewarming gifts and that kind of thing. And so that's like plants and, you know, kitchen items and maybe some food, like the honeys that we have. And it kind of just grew. We'd just talk about what we thought would work, and then it grew from there. And it was just, it's been a constant conversation of, oh, well, when we went to this store, we really liked this item, so can we maybe try to pull from that and take that as an inspiration? And another kind of way we've really wanted to look at it is to make sure that not only is it supporting, you know, is like providing for the local community, but it's also supporting the local community. So we've really tried to kind of look at items that are local or closer to local, and not buying from generic kind of big name brands, but really finding things that are unique and special and, you know, ideally nearby. And that has been a really fun part of the process too, is just trying to kind of support everyone really locally and make that a priority as well.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Was this a challenge at all? Because I feel like sort of the more traditional retail approach would be antiques and toys, those are two different stores, right? Like, I mean, some antique stores wouldn't even allow kids in, probably. Was that a bit of a challenge to sort of find a space in your store for those different things? And how did you handle that? How did you navigate that?
Yeah, always when you're trying to include kind of a diverse group of items in the store, right, it has to make sense. But I think I loved most of that. It was my mom. She's got a more discerning eye, and she's very, very good with set up and kind of making things feel homey and nice and making kind of a good feeling to a place. And I think that a lot of the credit for making it all cohesive goes to her. And I think also that just has to do with kind of when you're including things that you care about, it's not that hard to put them together. So I know we wanted kids, and we love antiques and things like that. So we're quite passionate about both of those areas. And when you have passion in something, you know, you can kind of make them more cohesive with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another big thing that you do, Maya, I know, is the social media, and I believe you've been involved in the branding and kind of creating the identity of the store, at least in terms of, you know, how it plays online and social media.
Yeah, sorry,
I'm just asking, is that true that you've been involved in that kind of brand crafting process? Yeah. So tell me about that.
Your
thinking as far as the look and feel and kind of what you were going for in creating the brand of Cambi Gifts and Toys.
Yeah, I think we started off with, I think my mom mentioned, you know, the amazing graphic designer who was kind of responsible for helping us kind of pick out a theme, right? So colors, she created some really amazing logos, and that was our starting off, kind of jumping off point with the product, his brand, the store. And then I've just been having a lot of fun with it. So I know from conversations with, you know, people that are working on the project, and what we're aiming for, something fun and nice and a place that we want to be. And with that, it's been really fun following kind of all the photos. And you know, social media isn't hard. It's just kind of getting people excited about something that you're excited about. So
yeah.
I'm really excited for opening, and I'm really, it's been so interesting going through this process and picking out what's fine, having it come in and, you know, unpacking it and setting it up. And that's all been so fun. So, of course, we want to share it with everyone. So, for me, the social media aspect of that has just been really just a fun process of kind of getting to show everybody what's coming.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing a lot of that, like, which has been cool, like different posts of kind of introducing people to the different crafters and different products you're going to be offering, which is great. That's a great way to build anticipation. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I just really want everyone to kind of know what's up there and just really be excited about seeing it when it opens. I want it to be a surprise. You know, I want everyone to know, oh, this is opening, this is why it's opening, and we want to get in there.
yeah, absolutely. When that door finally does open, you're going to have, you know, people camped out, you're going to have a line down the block. That's what you're going for, right?
Oh, nice. That would be the dream.
Yeah. Well, you guys are looking to be open about any day now, it seems, right? I mean, we're waiting on final inspection and go ahead from the county. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be very soon. I think we're just waiting on one final thing, and then it should be open. So it should be any day now. We've been ready to open for a while, so we're chomping at the bit.
Sure. Probably looking forward to this holiday shopping season. That's going to be a good time to be running a gift store, I would imagine.
I hope so. You know, I'm really excited to kind of work in the store and see everyone that comes in and really interact with people in this space that we've been curating for so long.
Sure.
And we've been getting some really positive feedback about it opening at kind of a good holiday time. So I really hope that kind of comes through and people wanting to visit.
yeah, absolutely. Cool. Are you going to be doing any sort of like special items that you're looking to carry just for the holiday season, or any, you know, the specials or the things like that? Or is it just kind of open the doors and see, kind of navigate that process as it comes?
Well, I think it's more of a open doors and navigate the process, because I'm right now in the stages of kind of prepping everything for hopefully restocking.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's really hard to gauge, right? Like what's going to sell out, what people are going to like, and what we're going to need more of. And I think with that, restocking orders will probably be looking at more kind of themed, maybe holiday things. But it's, I mean, everything we have in there could be given as a gift for the holidays. So, So it should be a nice, you know, nice place if you need something for someone. Hopefully you'll find what you're looking for.
Yeah. I heard you guys were going to offer free gift wrapping.
Yes, we are. I'm really excited to see all of the, that sounds kind of silly that I'm excited to see the gift wrapping. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. We have stickers with our logos, and then we have, you know, the wrapping paper that's in our store colors, and it should be really nice and fun. And it's always, I mean, it's always a special thing, right? When you kind of have it wrapped in the store and you don't have to worry about that one, because it can be a chore to wrap things and just have that taken off your plate. I always love it. So yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Do you enjoy gift wrapping? Is that like something you like?
I do. I really do. I grew up kind of doing origami a lot as a kid. Uh-huh. So gift wrapping is just the same field, right? It's just folding paper and taping it together.
Yeah, just for something inside of it.
Yeah, something a little more fun to open it.
yeah. And usually if somebody like tears up your origami, like you get mad, but that's the point of the gift wrapping.
Exactly. Part of the fun is ripping it open.
Yeah. Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
I think I am the world's worst gift wrapper. I am just absolutely terrible at it. Like, absolutely awful. I can even, like, make, like, a gift bag with, like, tissue paper. I can even make mm-hmm. that look bad. Like, I'm that hopeless. So my,
I think that's more of a skill than people give it credit for. It to be is. Honest with you, styling tissue paper is almost harder than just wrapping a box or something.
Yeah, it always looks bad. I don't know how. And then, you know, I have friends that'll like spend 5 seconds on it. It looks amazing. Like,
yeah, you have to fluff it. Just
yeah,
right.
Yeah. My thing used to be, because I used to work for newspapers, I used to wrap stuff in newspapers. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, like if I didn't have tape, I would just sort of like crinkle it together, you know, because there's so big sheets, you know, that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of my gifts got thrown away by accident, so I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are.
But now you don't have to worry.
Now I don't have to worry because I'll have somebody be. I'll have a very talented gift wrapper be able to do it for me. So, well, we are here at the store. Your mom is here with us, and she's going to take us on a little tour around, and we're going to get a bit of a sneak peek. Thanks so much, Maya, for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Best of luck when you guys do open. We're really excited for you.
And thank you. Yeah, it'll be fun. We hope to see you when we open.
Oh, that'll you will. My kids are going to be dragging me all around, I'm sure. So
we're looking forward to it.
Well, I've been staring and trying to figure out one part of your inventory here, these jars of marshmallow fluff. What is this about? You've got a very eclectic mix here, and we're going to talk about it. But first, explain the fluff, please.
Yeah, my daughter and I were out. We were just window shopping, and we saw marshmallow fluff, and I just couldn't believe that it still existed. My younger sister lived on it when we were little. I always thought it was disgusting, but I thought it was hilarious. So for anybody who needs a little walk down memory lane, there's marshmallow fluff.
Okay, that is so funny. Well, and what else do we have here? We got like some pottery.
Oh, it's gluten-free, by the way.
Oh, it's gluten-free. That'll be popular. Good to know. Good to know for those looking for a health food.
Get yeah,
some
exactly.
Marshmallow fluff. We got some, this is actually a health food, I think, yeah. Some raw honey.
Yep.
What's that about?
I just thought that this company did a beautiful job presenting the honey. That, mm-hmm. You know, everybody, well, not everybody, but most people love honey. And they just made it into, it's almost an art, the way that it's presented by
it
them.
Is. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, so there's several different ways that they've prepared it. And I love the test tube look. It's so simple. And then there's a variety of honeys.
Yeah. You got quite a variety of items here. How did you guys come up with the product mix?
Something for everyone. Yeah. You know, not everybody wants the same thing. And both my daughter and I love gift giving. And so trying to find the perfect gift for somebody, you need a big selection.
Okay, cool. So even just, and it's kind of categorized by different sections. And we've got some mugs here that look kind of familiar.
Yeah, the mural. We wanted to take an opportunity to do something interesting with the mural. So we made two different kinds of mugs with images from the mural. So mm-hmm. one to show, because they're so beautiful, you can't even tell that it's actually a mural sometimes. So we have one with the door open, so yeah. You can see that it's a building, and then others that are just really kind of highlights of the building.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm walking by, I can't even tell it's a mural. I just walk into thinking I'm in a field of flowers, and then I get a headache, but that's okay. So we got some mugs with some like funny sayings. You can't have a gift store these days.
That's what we were told. That's what we went to one of the gift shows, and that's what they told us.
Did you have sort of a
like certain standards. It sounds, seems like a lot of these are like kind of your sole proprietor, like handmade type folks that you're looking to feature here. Was that the idea?
Yeah, it's a combination. We'd love a place. We'd love for this to be a place where local people who do creative things and have gifts to sell can sell their goods, and then also, but having enough inventory, and so a combination of things that we've found at gift shows that were interesting and attractive and well priced.
Mm-hmm. And like some you mentioned like some antiques. There's like a lot of vintagey stuff here that you really couldn't find anywhere else.
Yep, there's some antiques mixed in. They're just really cool, you know, just kind of one of a kind objects for people. You know, again, just trying to be able to have an opportunity for people to pick out gifts that fit their friends and family. And so, you know, these little lilac bags, these little, will fit into this little handmade retiree made those.
Yeah.
And so these are from Mount Hood, and this is a retiree from the Dalles who made these bowls and potpourri bowls. So yeah, a combination of things.
So when you're plug-in air freshener runs out, you could
if you want to go a little more natural than that.
For sure. I love these.
Aren't they wonderful?
Yeah.
These are just really creative little they're fair trade from Africa, little funny little cars that are made from leftover tin. So just creative and cute and fun.
And that's something that obviously, you know, is a really unique gift, but then supports folks overseas.
That's right.
You know, helps their families and their communities, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Got some pens, got some beads, bracelets, cards.
Yep.
So one thing that I've been thinking, just I've been here for a few minutes now and walking around a little bit while you were, you know, doing your thing. It's hard to get you to just settle down, Mary. I need to talk to you. Anyway, but, you know, everyone, like, we're so, like, into the buying process, right? And, like, the selection and stuff. And I feel like there's a growing pushback from consumers and people are finding success in creating an shopping experience, right? Bringing that back, that, you know, the buying stuff online and just finding the cheapest possible price and it comes in the mail and you lose something with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is, because you have some furniture here that's not for sale, right? Like it's just sort of to create kind of a living room, welcoming space. And this is just a very fun space to just be in.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, that actually is for sale.
Okay.
Almost everything
I just cost
in here
your
is.
Sale. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll edit
if
that
you
out.
You need a couch or a chair, because then we'll replace it with other interesting things.
Gotcha.
So there are like three things in here that are for sale.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything is for sale. But the idea, we will continue to have spaces for people to come and relax. But yes, it's really about, you know, that there's not a, I'm kind of a Luddite, so I don't do a lot of shopping online. And I love it when you walk into a place and it feels comfortable and it's beautiful or creative. It may not be, you know, exactly your aesthetic, but it's interesting. And so I think the, you know, it's increasingly difficult to get tenants that are not commercial, just corporate tenants. And so that's what we're going for, is just a really comfortable, unique experience for people to come and enjoy shopping.
Yeah, yeah. But what you, I mean, it does feel like a very upmarket kind of shopping experience you have. You're like, I've sort of reminded a little bit of the World Market over in Clackamas and that mall by the Kohl's, I think.
Yeah.
Because they have couches and I just love to just like kind of hang out there sometimes
while
my wife spends all my money. But but yeah, I mean, just very, like I said, just a nice place to be in and look around.
Yes. Yeah, that's the goal.
Well, let's move over to the fun spot. The fun corner of the store here.
Fun corner. Yay, toys.
Toys. This has got to be fun to
It is. We want to expand this section. We're hoping to expand the toy section, you know, depending on sales. And so a combination.
Lots of color.
Yeah, a lot of color. A combination of things. Really fun little backpacks for kids. Several different options. And then wooden toys that are also fair trade, but beautiful. And then some toys from Vermont that are handmade wooden objects that are also, they're educational, but they're also very attractive and fun for kids. Mm-hmm. And a selection of children's books and some games and some stuffed animals. And we'll keep, keep expanding that section. And then we've got
a lot of stuffed animals.
Yeah. Then we've got some, so we've got, those are some things that you would get, you know, if it was a friend. And then we've got some things that grandparents might enjoy, like that crib sheets or something that, you know, a grandparent might realize that's something you're really going to appreciate having, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. So here we come to the couches that I lied and said weren't for sale, but they are if you're walking by and see the cool couch. But the thing I wanted to ask you about, Mary, was just from the sort of higher perspective of Hanlon development, like, you know, the Dahlia building here and you and your team that built this project, like it was always, you know, a bit of a different approach, I feel, from development, right? Like it wasn't like, you know, profits are the highest possible thing or whatever. You guys have the very community focus and what makes the most sense for this area, you know, this literal block plus this community. And I feel like that's probably the approach you're taking and kind of filling these spaces with tenants as well. Mm-hmm. So can you speak a little bit about that perspective? Why do you think this was a good fit for the community here?
The building, the whole objective of the Civic Block is to activate the space. And so the challenge with new construction is timing. You've got a building and you've got to fill it. And, you know, the right tenant may or may not be there right when you need to fill it. And sure. So luckily, this retail space is filling up fast. But we wanted to, so we're fortunate to have restaurants coming into the first floor. Wayward's,
yeah, Wayward Sandwiches.
Yeah, Wayward's open. And we've got a couple other lined up that we're working with. And then and we also want to have some active uses that people can come down and not just eat, but come to really interesting places that they can spend time with their family members of all ages. And yeah. So a gift store, as you mentioned, when Parsons closed, a gift store kind of was gone from downtown. And toy stores are wonderful. And there's a lot of young families in Canby. And so we wanted to make sure that we're addressing the needs of that population as well. And right. So part of the active space, including the landscaped area, will be this gift store. And hopefully a couple other people we're talking to that'll keep this a really, you know, vital destination location that's alternative to a mall or something like that.
Sure. And the thing with Parsons, right, like it's not just the stuff, like we can't get the stuff that they have anymore. Like you can find that. So there's other stores, there's obviously online. That's not really what it was about, right? It was the loss of that friendly place, that familiar place, that nice place to just be in and walk to when you're in downtown Canby.
Yep.
That was gone. And that was what that hole was, I feel.
Yep.
So this is helping bring some of that back as well as some of this stuff, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. It's that people are walking downtown. Yeah. You know, that they want to go and walk around downtown and that this is part of that experience.
Hey, Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined.
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Canby, most of DirectLink's employees live here as well. DirectLink's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities. So joining us on the line now is some somebody that I'm sure everyone knows, Greg Perez, newly named hometown hero of Canby. Hey, Greg.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? What did you think about all that?
Oh, God, we're in shock.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, a few tears came out of my eyes because that really surprised me and overwhelmed me.
Yeah, it was very special to watch and to hear all your many friends, you know, talk about the ways that you've impacted and helped and supported them, and then to hear you talk about it and really just try and, you know, I think as everyone sort of expected, really try to put it back on everyone else. Oh, it's not me. It's, you know, everyone had a hand in it, and it's just one of those things that really makes you see what's special about Canby. So that was cool to watch.
Yes.
And you were just there to talk about what we're going to talk about on this segment here, but it was a surprise. You weren't there to receive an award. You were there to talk about what's going on for Veterans Day here in Canby.
Yes, I was. And that will be coming up next Monday, November 11th. And the event is the Veterans Day celebration that Canby's putting on, and along with the American Legion, because they have a big hand in this. And the event is going to kick off at 11:30 at the Canby Vietnam Memorial Park right next to Burgerville.
Okay, it's at 11:30?
Yes, that starts at 11:30. Then the F-15s are scheduled to fly over within 25 minutes of that, so right around in that area. So I'm trying to sit down and time everybody's speech and speaking and so forth to where it works out perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task.
No, it's not an exact science, but that'll be really special. That always adds some oomph to a ceremony like that, to have a flyover, so that's really cool. And then they are not easy to get, so kudos to you for securing that.
Yeah, that took at least minimum 9 months to work on this. There was a lot of people involved in this. It wasn't just me. It was,
sure.
You know, we had the people from military department at State in Salem, and public affairs, and it went from there to D.C. to the Department of Defense, the Air Force branch, and back over to FAA, and then it went back to Salem, and then back over to the Air Base.
Sure. President Trump had to sign off on it, I'm sure, and all that.
Yes.
Not quite that high, but yeah, several layers. Well, so this is actually just the second annual Veterans Day, Canby Veterans Day celebration, at least of this iteration. We hadn't really had one for a while, right?
Right. Ever since they had the memorial there, they haven't been having events. So I thought last year, well, let's have our own, because I didn't want to travel outside of the area, being a retired veteran myself.
Sure.
And so I decided to have it here, and then for this year, I wanted to make it a little bit bigger, a little bit more exciting. So hopefully we can fulfill that dream that we're having. And American Legion will provide coffee and donuts free to the public prior to the event from 11 o'clock on.
Well, I'm sold.
And then after the ceremony, the American Legion will have free hot dogs and hamburgers. And it's open to everybody. This event is open to everybody.
Cool. Well, you had me at the coffee and donuts, and then you just added hot dogs in. Wow.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. And I think the VFW lends a lot of support to this event as well. Is that right?
Yes. All branches, all the service organizations are all involved in one way or another. And we want them to come, and we invited some other local organizations here in Canby to attend also.
Well, you know, I ask about the history of the event, such as it is. You know, you just kind of you and the other folks that organized it started it last year. But it's a little surprising to me, right? Because Canby is so supportive of veterans. It is, you know, before this, I was kind of surprised there's not an event, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
And I felt left out.
Yeah, sure.
I honestly had one of those bad days where I just kind of felt left out, and we need to have something. So I kind of kicked it around and talked to some other people, and we made it happen.
Cool. You're going to have some speakers you mentioned?
Yes, I do. I have an aviation officer out of the group in Salem who will be our guest speaker. And then we're going to have National Anthem sung by a local Melinda Buckles.
I guess my invitation didn't reach. I thought it was going to be me, but that's okay. Maybe next year. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. I'll put you on the list. I'll put you on the priority
list. Put me very, very low on the list, if you would.
In case something falls through, I'll call on you.
Every other person in the audience should be higher on that list than me. So.
I really, truly thought I forgot something. Oh, I forgot, Tyler.
Yeah. No, Melinda Buckles, that's wonderful. We have actually had her sing on this podcast before. She's quite a phenomenal singer, so that's great.
Yes. Yes, she is.
Cool. And the aviation group, is that the bomber group that's down in Salem?
No, it's a helicopter aviation group, yeah. Cool. And some of the retirees and veterans in Canby have flown with this guest speaker before over in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of special to the people here locally, and it's kind of a tight-knit group. You wouldn't know it, but we all know them too. And so, as a matter of fact, I think we have another officer, I think, retiring from the air base in Portland, and he's going to be moving to Canby here shortly. I can't mention his name yet, but yes.
Cool. Yeah, we don't want to out him on the Gaming Now podcast.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, it's interesting to me, Greg, that you mentioned that feeling of feeling, you know, that you felt a little left out when there was no Veterans Day event here in Canby. And I think that's pretty common from the Vietnam era. That's one of the reasons that we have the memorial that we do that's aimed at Vietnam veterans, because that is a population that obviously, because of the way that they were treated immediately from returning from service, and really unfortunately and tragically in many cases in the decades after, of just not receiving the honor and recognition that you earned and deserved. So really, thank you for sharing that feeling, but it really is, and I'm sure you'd agree, representative of a large number of Vietnam veterans.
Yeah, and they're not open about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and when I first left the military, I stayed to myself. And I don't think I came out of my shell for like maybe about eight years before I could just actually be out in public and speak and speak my piece or whatever I had to say. And it took me a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not a shy person.
No, you're not.
It was just adjusting.
Yeah.
It was just adjusting. And but anyway, that day it became special to me because I'm going like, now I have something to go to November 11th. You know, we've got something in town for everybody.
Yeah.
The people that can't travel outside of the area.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's where we're at today.
Cool. Well, we will definitely be there. I know that I'm not a veteran myself, of course. And I know that you guys hear this all the time from us non-veterans. Thank you for your service. And I know that it can, and I even hear sometimes that it almost can be a little annoying. You know, it can feel a little trite, a little too easy, because we don't understand what it's like. We don't know what it takes to be a veteran, to put on that uniform, to go overseas as many Vietnam vets and during a time of war and conflict.
Yeah, but one thing I feel that civilians don't understand, that they were a part of this. Hmm. In one way or another, they did contribute. And that includes yourself, you know. So they contributed in one way or another. They kept the country going while all these other things are happening. So they did their part, too. Hmm. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I feel that the least I can do is say thank you and just acknowledge that I don't understand what it takes. You know, I don't understand what it took. But I am deeply grateful for it. I understand the meaning of it and the reason for it and the freedoms and the opportunities that it helped preserve for me back here. And I really do truly appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate you appreciating that. And one of the other things that a lot of people don't understand is, sure, you have a soldier. He goes into training and then he goes off to war. We'll just make it quick. And then, but man, he has a family.
Right.
And then his wife is pregnant and they have a child already. And that individual, that wife and child are left home.
Right.
And people don't understand what that family is going through. And then let's say the soldier doesn't come back. Once again, they don't understand what that family has gone through and what they're going through. So there's a whole mix to this. There's a bigger picture than people really see and understand. There's so much going on. It's pretty overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And there, you know, folks forget we still do have folks serving overseas. We do, even from this state, had some deployments this year of National Guard members. So there are still folks to keep, if you're a praying type, to keep in your prayers or in your thoughts that are serving our country, both here domestically and overseas and in areas where they're in danger. So,
exactly. You know, last night I was at an event here in town, and I met a 101-year-old nurse, Native American, still alive, World War II.
Wow, that's something.
And then the Tuskegee Airmen, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I met the last surviving one last night.
Oh, wow. So many cool stories.
There's so much, exactly. There's so many stories. And, you know, it's so good to kind of surround yourself with some of the older veterans, because their history, their living history. You're not reading it out of a book. You're hearing it live coming from them.
Right.
And it's so interesting to talk to them because they have a story. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. That's one reason why we do what we do and why we love doing it. So
that's right.
This is going to be, like you said, this Monday, 11:30, Vietnam Memorial. I'm sure parking will be around the high school would be the best place.
High school and, yeah, the high school and in Safeway parking lot right around in there.
Okay.
And, yes, so there'll be music playing prior to, and then it's going to be a good event, very, very good event. And I hope that everybody in Canby that can come, to come and see some of these veterans and find out how special a day this is to us.
Absolutely.
And to a lot of families.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you, Greg, and to all the other organizers and volunteers who make this possible. And thanks for being on the show to tell us about it.
Thank you, and thank the American Legion for supporting me on this, too.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Canby. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved them $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
Huge thank you as well to our supporters on Patreon. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we seriously love. For information on how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, a patron of the Canby Now podcast, visit canbynowpod.com/plus.